he's the way maker.
Yes.
So we just sung the song saying he'll make a way, and God is so good, he'll transition you to remind you that he's the way maker. And it's not your friends, not your best boo, but it's him. He's the one who created us. He's the one that why we stand and we are who we are. So let's worship him in spirit and truth.
You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, breaking every chain. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here,
moving in this place.
Moving in this place.
We worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Touching every heart.
Touching every heart.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship
I
you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
Turning lives around.
Turning lives around.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship
I
you.
I worship
you. You are here.
I worship
you.
I worship
you. And that's why we say,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
God, we say,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, that is who you are.
We say Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are.
Nobody like you, God.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are.
Nobody but you, Lord.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are.
Nobody like you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are.
You are here, move. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, breaking every chain. I worship.
Of your name, every knee shall bow and tongue proclaim that Jesus, you are Savior, you are Lord, and you are God.
Anybody know him as a miracle worker? Has he been a promise keeper to somebody? In your lowest moment, in your darkest hour, did he become a light for you, showing you which way to go? Well, just seems to me that if Jesus has been, and if Jesus is any or all of those things to us, we ought to tell him thank you. We ought to say glory, hallelujah. We ought to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being a way maker, a promise keeper, a miracle worker, the light in my darkness. Thank you, Lord, that you loved me when I didn't even love myself. Thank you, Lord, that when father and mother and family and friends had turned their backs and walked away, you were right there, Jesus, because you promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I couldn't see my way, you made a way out of no way. Lord, even this very moment, the reason I have breath in my body is because of you, Lord. And I give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to the deacons, the trustees, the auxiliary leaders, the members of Roanoke-Salem Missionary Baptist Church, and for all of you who are visiting with us this morning, our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what church family you may be a member of, we are all one in the body of Christ. We welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. To my sisters in ministry who are here with me this morning, Reverend Phillips and Reverend Stevenson, to Reverend Dr. Motley, and I knew her name, Reverend Dr. Motley, thank you so much for being here. Reverend Dr. Motley, we all know, is a member of Piney Grove under Pastor Edwards, and she is in and out with us from time to time when she can. She's been coming here over years. Dr. Motley, thank you this morning that you saw fit to come and worship with us. Reverend Freeman. Reverend Freeman is listening by this new technology. So we got him called up, and he's listening from home. Good morning, Monte. We know you can't see us, and we can't see you, but we talking to you anyway. Well, she's going to get him cut on. He's still recovering from his health challenge, so let's keep him in our prayers. Reverend Lee is visiting with her family today, and Daryl, Minister Mitchell, continues to be with his mother over in Halifax County. So everybody is present and accounted for. This morning, if you'll please turn to your Bibles to the book of St. Matthew, the 19th chapter. 19th chapter, we're going to look at verses 16 through 21. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 21. I will read this to us from the New International Version. Amen. I'm sorry, ushers, please be seated. I thank God for these ushers, and I thank God for this wonderful ensemble that's been singing to the glory of God behind us on this morning. Thank you so much, musicians, directors, those, the whole ensemble. Thank you so much for letting the Lord use you in a mighty way to bless us. Matthew 19, beginning with verse number 16. This is what it says. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus responded, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man replied. The man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Verse 22. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Amen. For just a few minutes, let us reason together from the thought, being good is not good enough. Being good is not good enough. It's my own personal opinion that in today's world, we too readily celebrate what we consider to be good people. The problem that we often encounter is this. We believe someone to be good until we begin to hear rumors that might suggest that they're not good. And that's how we are now. We think well of folk, but then something bad is said. And a lot of us, that's the way we'll go. Or we get factual information sometimes about something from a person's past that was not good. And then most of us act like we never admired the person we said was good just last week. Isn't it interesting how quickly the tide can turn, particularly about you and your reputation and your situation in life? And I say this as a child of God to my brothers and sisters in Christ, we shouldn't be too quick to make judgments one way or the other. Not Christians now. We have our own opinions, but we shouldn't be too quick to make judgments one way or the other. But let me just share a recent current example of what is considered, how something that's considered good can change in the blinking of an eye. And that's the ongoing saga around the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to be placed on the U.S. Supreme Court. Just 2 weeks ago, and we all know this, just 2 weeks ago, Judge Kavanaugh was not only considered highly qualified and greatly experienced, but his strongest supporters consider him a good person. Then seemingly out of nowhere comes Dr. Christine Ford, and she didn't just come out of nowhere, but we hadn't heard about her until about 2 weeks ago. Dr. Ford has accused Judge Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her while they were both still in high school. Dr. Ford's testimony before a small group of U.S. senators has now raised questions about whether or not Judge Kavanaugh is truly a good person, because his character and his honesty are now being called into question. Judge Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court, once almost a sure thing 2 weeks ago, now maybe in jeopardy pending an investigation by the FBI. Judge Kavanaugh's present situation is a sobering reminder that claiming to be good or being thought of as being good sometimes is not good enough. I continue to pray, and I've been praying this for months now, and I ask you to join me and pray that God's justice will prevail. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not Democrat, not Republican, not on the side of women, not on the side to protect men. I pray that God's justice will prevail and the truth will be revealed, whatever the truth may be. Amen?
Amen.
One definition of good is having excellent qualities. That definition seems to describe this young man who was very rich that we find looking for Jesus here in Matthew chapter 19. This rich young ruler, this rich man has authority over some folks where he lives. And in fact, he is a ruler, if you will. And so he finds Jesus and he begins the conversation by calling Jesus good master. And Jesus responds by telling the young man that only Jehovah God, only the Father is truly good. That is a reminder to all of us as saved, sanctified, born-again believers in Jesus. It is certainly true that we are God's righteousness, but we should not think more highly of ourselves than we are, because Jesus said that only the Master, the only good one is the Father himself. Amen. Amen. The rich young ruler continues asking Jesus, what must he do to obtain eternal life? Jesus says, keep the commandments. The rich young ruler asks, which ones? Then Jesus shares that list you see there of six specific things that he says, you need to do these things. Now, at this point, I can imagine the rich young ruler was feeling pretty good about himself, and you and I would be too. Why? Because he was happy to tell Jesus that from the time he was a little boy, he had kept, so he said, he had kept all those six commandments that Jesus had shared with him. Point of personal privilege. We know that the Lord God gave Moses 10 commandments. And if you read this list of Jesus, he named off about three or four or five of them. But this is not to replace the 10 commandments. But Jesus said, here's six things just off the top of my head. If you do these things, then you'll find eternal life. But most of us would think that this young man was a good person. Jesus, I've done everything you said I should do from the time I was a little boy. He said that he had done all that Jesus had commanded, and it's the same things that all of us should do. But if we believe that the way we think, if we believe the way we talk, the words we speak, if we believe the way we behave will get us into heaven, then we have a serious problem. Here's the problem. If my thoughts and your thoughts, if my words and my actions could save my soul, then Jesus didn't have to die for me. He didn't have to die for you, Sharmika. If what you think, say, and do could save you, you didn't need Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, if we could just do what we need to do to be saved, we didn't need Jesus. Not only that, if I could live good enough to win God's favor, then I don't need to have a daily relationship with Jesus. But the Apostle Paul puts us all in check in his letters to the Galatians, chapter 2, verse 16. Paul wrote these words. He says, knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law. What are the works of the law? Keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments are the works of the law. Paul said a man is not justified by the works of the law. But what? But by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. you can't be good enough. You and I just can't live good enough to come up to that standard. In other words, Paul is telling us today that even when we keep the commandments, that's good. But that's not good enough. We are not justified before Jehovah God by how good we are. We are justified before God by our faith in Jesus Christ. Our being good is not good enough. Let me be clear. Jesus does want us to obey his commandments. He wants us to be good, but he does not ever want us to think that our ability to be good is what saves us from our sins. Jesus wants us to always remember that he died for us. And because he died for us and because he loved us, that's why we're saved. Jesus knows that if he lets us think that we can be good enough without him, most of us will become modern day Pharisees. Do we know who the Pharisees are? The Pharisees were the religious folks, the church folks of Jesus' day. They were highly educated in the laws of Moses. They thought that they were even better than everybody else because they thought that by keeping the law, that made them more holy than everybody else. But Jesus burst their collective bubble when he told them their attitudes were wrong and they were no better than anybody else. Where do you find that, Reverend? Matthew 23, verse 23, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 in the NIV. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters." What important matters have they neglected, Jesus? Justice. They've neglected mercy. They've neglected faithfulness. He said, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So in other words, yeah, you do right when you give your tithes. You do right when you treat people well. But that's not what it's all about, keeping the law. It's about being a person who has a heart for justice, a person who can be merciful, a person who can be faithful to the calling of God on your life. That's what it's all about. Jesus said being good is not good enough. We must have compassion for people who are not where we are in their Christian walk. Even the saints can't be good enough to please Jesus all the time. I'm sorry. I know there's some of us who really believe that there comes a point in our walk with the Lord that we reach a standard of holiness that we have arrived. I pray that's not most people, because most real Christians know that ain't the truth. But some of our brothers and sisters in Christ really believe that. They can literally look down their noses at somebody that's unsaved. They can literally look down their noses and speak a bad word, put their mouth on some even brother and sister in Christ who may not be as mature in Christ as where they are. And Jesus says that's wrong. Nobody is good enough to come up to my standard. It's just because I love you so much that I make all of us qualified to receive my blessings, my grace, and my mercy. How do I know that even the saints can't be good enough to please Jesus all the time? Because in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, Paul talked about his fight against his own flesh. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present." In other words, I want to do right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, I want to do right, but sometimes I don't know exactly how to do it. Why, Paul? "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that's what I do." Paul's saying, yeah, sometimes. Here we go. Maybe this is easier. Monday, I'm good. Tuesday, I'm better. Wednesday, I'm rocking and rolling. Oh, Thursday, I'm cruising. Friday, I'm peachy clean. But Saturday come around. Oh, Lord, and Saturday afternoon. And I start getting them calls. And I start getting them texts. And I go on Facebook and see where everybody gathering tonight. And Saturday night, I cut loose. And then Sunday morning, here I come crawling into church, feeling all bad, feeling all guilty, feeling all condemned. Because from last Sunday to Saturday, I made myself believe that if I just do these things and just don't do certain things, I'm good. I'm good. I'm the apple of my Lord's eye. But Saturday came, and my flesh overpowered my spirit. Now what I'm going to do? Amen. Paul wasn't making any excuses for himself. And I'm not making excuses for you and me. I just want us to recognize the reason God is so good to us is not because of how good we try to be. It's because of how good he is, even when we fall short of his glory. Sometimes we will have wrong thoughts. Sometimes we will say wrong things. Sometimes we will do wrong things. We are saved, but we still are subject to sin. As Paul also said in another passage of scripture, as long as you live in this body, this temple made of clay, you will always be subject. You will always be tempted to sin. It doesn't say you have to always fall into sin now, but you're going to always have that sin nature and that temptation. Doesn't the Bible tell us there's a constant war between the flesh and the spirit? That's between doing good and doing wrong. It's a constant war. And the moment you think you got it lit, yeah, you got the victory over this particular issue in your life. But Lord knows something else will pop up. Or the devil will bring whatever that is back around stronger than you are to deal with it the second time around. We can't ever let ourselves think that we are doing it just on our own free will or by our own willpower. We should never get to that point, even as believers. Amen. So Jesus wants us to know it's because he loves us and because he is the one who makes us righteous. That's why he covers our sin. We cannot depend on our ability to be good. We must always depend on our faith in Jesus Christ to cover our sins by his righteousness. Amen. We should have a do right mind. We should want to try our best to be good. We should want to do our best to live holy. Absolutely, amen. Sin is a serious thing. And the Lord Jesus does not play with sin. Even those of us who are saved, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, but I'll raise mine for myself and maybe for some of you. God will kick your butt when you sin against him. Amen. Now, he's not going to let you sin and get away with it. Saved or unsaved. Unsaved folk don't get away with sin either. That's why some of their lives are so jacked up. Because they're living in habitual sin. And when you and I get out of line and we have some jacked up areas in our life, why? Because we got some sin we just don't want to let go of. It's too good to us. And then sometimes we know we need to let it go and pride comes in and we won't seek anybody's help. You ain't got to come talk to the preacher. There's a brother and sister in the sanctuary you can go to and God will lead you to that person and y'all can pray confidentially. If you need help, if it's a serious enough issue, sometimes we need to go see some folk. I heard Taraji P. Henson say on, I think it was The View earlier this week, and she said something that struck me and it resonated with me, and the Lord said, you got to say this on Sunday if I let you see Sunday. I said, yes, sir, Lord, I sure will. She said, you know, in the church, we have learned that we're supposed to pray everything away. Amen. We're supposed to pray about things, but God gave folk knowledge to help us too now. So if you need counseling, go get some counseling. If you are sick, go to the doctor, Javita. Ain't no need for me to go back there in the choir stand tell me I'm going to lay hands on you and you on your last breath. My laying hands on you. God might perform a miracle, but God also said you got folk all across the sanctuary who are licensed EMTs. We got nurses here. We got folk who know what to do when people get distressed. He put them there for a reason. Yeah, we're not supposed to pray everything away. What we're supposed to do is pray and ask God's guidance about what we should do. But we got Christian counselors. We've got Christian doctors. We've got Christian lawyers. We've got Christian school teachers and we've got Christian cops. We got those. I know because I met them and you all have met them too. And you'd be surprised, the very person you're talking to, you don't think there's anything about them that makes you think that they might be a believer. And somewhere in the conversation, the Lord will reveal it to you that they're a believer. So when you need help, God is not mad with me because I go to a doctor. God is not mad with you because you go to a counselor if you need counseling of some kind. God wants you to pray and ask him to lead, guide, and direct you. And between what he gives those persons to help you and you putting your confidence in, because listen, and y'all hear me, y'all heard me pray this. I thank God for doctors. I thank God for medical science. That comes from him. But even when I go to the doctor, my faith is still in the Lord Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus that the doctor's going to do the right thing. That they're going to get the right medicine or do the surgery on the right leg and not the wrong leg. Amen. Amen. But all that to simply say that it ain't about us. We are supposed to want to live right. We're supposed to want to live holy. We're not supposed to live in sin and think we're going to get away with it, because we will not. But at the same time, we need to know that our trust and dependence is on the Lord Jesus. Jesus loves us so much that even when we sin, he doesn't stop loving us. And don't you let the devil or anybody else make you believe that when you fall short, when you fall into sin and you come to yourself and you ask the Lord to forgive you, don't let anybody make you think God has stopped loving you. Jesus asked the Father to give us God the Holy Spirit. And now when you give your life to Jesus, and if we sin, you don't lose your salvation, and you don't lose God's love, and you don't lose God's blessing. How do I know that? Because in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, Paul said this words. He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means who put their faith in Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And then verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they which are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's no condemnation if you fall short. And you can't be right, and you can't be perfect all the time. Let me bring this to a close. God knows that no matter how good we try to be, we cannot be good enough. Amen? Amen. Not that we're not supposed to stop trying, but we cannot be perfect all the time. You just cannot keep your thoughts in check all the time. Somebody will brush up against you, or you get irritated about something over here, and somebody else say something before you know it. If you're not careful, a word you didn't mean to say might come to the roof of your mouth. You might not say it, but God knows you're thinking it, and Jesus knows your thoughts. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you know you're not. Let me give something simple there. Nobody have any feel any kind of way about it. Doctor done told you stop eating fried chicken. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, doctor told you don't eat no more pork. Doctor told you that little toddy you have for you go to sleep every night that you say help you sleep. He said, yeah, it's helping you sleep, but it's tearing up your liver too. So you need to cut that out. And yet, what do we do? We'll tell ourselves, well, one little leg about that big won't hurt me. I didn't eat the whole barbecue sandwich from Ralph's. I bought the whole sandwich. I cut it in half, and I ate half today. And I'll eat the other half next week. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. No, but so we're not going to be perfect all the time. But he promised that if we confessed our sins, he said he will forgive us of our sins and restore us to right fellowship with him. Amen. The rich young ruler was good, but his goodness, his keeping the law, wasn't enough to earn eternal life. The only way for anybody to have eternal life is by putting our faith in Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross. We don't have to be good. We have to have faith in Jesus, and that makes us good enough. Amen. Let me say that one last time. We don't have to try to be good. What we have to do is keep our faith in Jesus. And that makes us good enough. Good enough, why? Because Jesus is the only one who's perfect. Jesus is the only one who is holy and righteous all the time. All his thoughts, all his words, all his actions. And he says, just trust me and I'll be your covering. Jesus, why can't you be my covering? Because I'm the one who sacrificed for you. Jesus, when did you sacrifice for me? You don't know? Nobody's told you? Can I tell the story? Jesus said there was a Friday that I had had to go first on the night before to Pilate's judgment hall. And they accused me of doing some things that I did not do. But I didn't say a mumbling word because I was thinking about everybody in this sanctuary today. I was thinking about all the folks in Gettysburg, all the folks in Seaboard, Northampton, Halifax County, all across the world. I was thinking about you. So even though they were lying on me, I didn't say anything. They spit in my face. They slapped me. They hit me all upside my head. The Bible says they even pulled the beard out my chin. I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word because I was thinking about all of you because I wanted you to be good enough. Amen. Amen. They even took me out of Pilate's judgment hall, and they whipped me. They beat me with some leather that had a metal and had glass in it, and it just literally cut the skin off my back. My skin just rolled down my back like somebody had taken a zipper and opened up something, just let something fall out. You could see my bones. They beat me so badly. And I was in terrible, horrible pain. But I took that. I took it because I was thinking about you. Now, not only if that wasn't enough, add insult to injury, they had this about 350-pound wooden cross. I was already bleeding so badly that if it had been modern day, I would have been in the hospital because all my blood was about gone. But they still made me carry that cross up a hill. And I struggled and I struggled and I was in pain, but I was thinking about Edwin. And I was thinking about Nate. And I was thinking about Brenda. And I was thinking about Deacon Dupree as I went up that cross. Because I wanted you to be good enough. Amen. And then when I got up to the top of that cross, they laid that cross down the ground and made me lay on top of it. And they put some big old metal stakes in my hand. No, they want those 10-penny nails like you go to the store and buy where you're just going to just nail a piece of wood on the wall. No, they put some railroad stakes in my hands. And they put some railroad stakes in my feet as I lay on that cross. And then they lifted me high and they stretched me wide. But see, what they didn't know then is when they lifted me up, I was drawing all men, all humanity unto myself. To God be the glory. And I stayed there. And they laughed at me. And they mocked me. And they tried to give me vinegar to drink instead of some water. Because they know that the way that that cross works, it puts pressure on your lungs. So you start to choke and you start to lose your breath. And your mouth gets dry and you need something to drink. But I didn't have anything to drink. So they said, oh, Jesus, we'll give you some vinegar. Here, drink this. And he didn't do that, but then they still weren't satisfied because normally they break the bones when folks don't die, but my father wouldn't let them break my bones. So I just stood there on that cross. I stayed there. I could have come down because I could have called 10,000 legions of angels. I could have had angels there just in a second taking me off that cross. I would have been healed and perfect, and I could have slaughtered everybody I wanted to. But I wanted y'all to be good enough, so I didn't do that. I let them take a spear and pierce me in my side, and my blood came out, my precious blood. It's the blood that washes away the stains of your sin. It's my blood that makes you whole again. I took that too. And then they took me down off that cross, and they put me in a borrowed tomb. And I stayed there all the rest of the day Friday. And I stayed there all Friday night. Saturday morning, I was in that tomb. My body was laying on a cold piece of slab, but my spirit went down into hell. And I walked right up to the devil, and I snatched the keys out of his hands. And I went and opened the doors and set all the captives free. And I dared him to say a word when I did it. Then I threw the keys back to him. and went on back and put my soul back up in that cold piece of body that was laying there. So I stayed there the rest of Saturday, and I stayed all Saturday night. But I was ready on Sunday. But I was ready on Sunday. I was ready on Sunday. Because early on that Sunday morning, I got up with all power in heaven, on earth, under the earth. I got up with all power in my hand. My Father gave me that power because I was obedient even unto the shameful death on the cross. And I did it so all of us could be good enough. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our faith in Jesus. And that makes us good enough. Give God some praise. It's our faith in Jesus that makes us good enough. Deacons, come on, please. I pray this message.